Good morning. We hope that you are having a great kickoff to your day, and we hope you're getting ready to get to church this Sunday morning. My name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazelton, and our show is called Old Lion, Young Lion. As you know, the best show that is on the air today. And we want to welcome you to our show if you're a new listener or a regular listener. Our show exists, Old Lion, Young Lion, exists to serve the greatest lion of all time, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, who we consider our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he teaches us from the Word of God that all the righteous will be bold as lions, and we intend to be bold on our show. Our job is to preach the truth as boldly as we can. And boy, do we have a great episode for you today. We're excited to get into it, but I want to give us a little reminder about where we've been, where we're going, the things that we're going to get into over the next few weeks. But before we do that, we have to give a little shout out to today's sponsor. Have you ever heard of or have you ever met a man named Mr. Mike Guile? Mike Guile and Cindy Guile, they are sponsors of our show today, and we just want to give a shout out to them. We love you guys, and thank you for being loyal listeners to every minute of the show. Now, we have a little tradition here at our show that Sam and I go through on every single show, is that we start out our show with a word of prayer. And Sam and I, we're pastors at a local church, Electric City Baptist Church in Schenectady, New York, and we're located in the heart of Schenectady County on Hamburg Street. We meet every single Sunday at 10:30, and we have many other gatherings throughout the week. We'd love to see you at a church gathering sometime. But before we get into our show, I'd like to start out with a word of prayer. Sam, Old Lion, would you mind kicking our show off with a word of prayer?
I will indeed. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for keeping us in the palm of your hand as we bring up some of these deceptions that have crept into the world, these deceptions of Islam and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness that we've been covering in these last episodes. Father, I want to ask you to keep us in the palm of your hand today as we open your word. We pray for those who have fallen prey and fallen victim to these deceptions, that they would come out of these deceptions, that they would know the truth, and that the truth would set them free. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we want to pray also a special blessing on all those that are listening to the show, or you've been listeners. We don't know what you've been walking through or the things that you might be struggling with, but we hope that we can be a little addition to your journey to finding truth and connecting with the Creator God, the Most High God of the universe. And we hope that whatever you're going through, that you'll be able to take one step closer to a relationship with Him. Now, we've been in a series that we kicked off a few weeks ago, and we're going to be continuing today. And we've been coining this series, Buyer Beware, Pretenders to the Throne of Truth. So before we get into today's episode on what we're going to talk about, Sam, why don't you give us a little recap of what we've been talking about?
Well, last week we exposed the demonically inspired false religion of Islam, which denies the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, denies that Jesus is the Son of God, and denies that salvation is by grace through faith, as the Bible teaches. And so it sets itself against the teachings of the Bible. It's very interesting. Those who believe in the Muslim religion trace their spiritual lineage back to Abraham, which is the same thing that Christians and Jews do, except they trace their lineage back to Abraham through his son, Ishmael. And Ishmael was the son of a slave woman. God had told Abraham that, hey, this son of yours is not going to be your heir, but your heir will be your very own son, Isaac. And God furthermore said about Ishmael that he would be a wild ass of a man, and that his hand would be over against all his brothers. And so history has demonstrated this to be the case, where Islam is represented as the spiritual descendants of this Ishmael. Islam has been a violent religion. It has conquered peoples and territory by the edge of the sword, by violence, by domination, by intimidation, rather than by love, self-sacrifice, and gentle persuasion, which is how Jesus and his followers expanded the kingdom of God. You know, at the end of the day, Islam like all the other pretenders to the throne of truth, is basically just a set of rules that it demands that people follow to establish their own righteousness rather than accepting the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ.
We also completely and openly deny this falsehood based on the teaching that's in Scripture. And I really appreciate your recap of last week's episode. And we base this on many different scriptures, but primarily one of them being from Romans chapter number 10, verse number 3, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And folks, let's not make this mistake where you depend on your own righteousness rather than the righteousness that God is attempting to establish. Okay, Sam, I appreciate that recap. Give us a little bit of a look into the future, maybe a little bit about today's, but also where we're going in the future of the show.
So we're going to set Islam aside, and we're going to dig into another false religion of Mormonism. And both of these false religions, Islam and Mormonism, had similar starts. We have an angel supposedly appearing to someone, and now they're adding this new doctrine, this new information. Our Bible says that there's an old covenant, which is the law of Moses, and that there is a new everlasting covenant, which is in the blood and body of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which we receive forgiveness. There is no third covenant to come. There's the old, there's the new and everlasting, and the Bible puts a very strong exclamation point on the end of that in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Almost the last verses of your Bible gives this warning: if anyone adds to the words of the prophecy of this book, God will add to him the plagues that are described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God will take away his share in the tree of life.
Well, that's good. And we want to make sure that we're clear about what we're doing. These episodes are a little bit different than maybe what you've heard from our season one of the show, that we are openly calling the Church of the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ pretenders to the throne. That the show that we're doing today is Buyer Beware, Pretenders to the Throne. And why this particular iteration is so dangerous, this false religion is so dangerous, is because they proclaim to be angels of light. And this is what Satan does sometimes, showing himself to be an angel of light, but he is really a deceiver. And this one, Mormonism, or the Church of the Latter-day Saints, or the LDS, you may have heard, the reason why it's so persuasive is because they have a lot of similarities to the truth, but at their core, there is some rotten fruit. Just like every false religion, we're going to go through some of the things in the episode today, but just like every false religion, they are a religion that is based off of their own righteousness and their own works. But uniquely, like some of the particular false religions that we're talking about in this series, they have a false angel, a false prophet, and a false gospel. So I want you to remember these three things about Mormonism: that they have a false angel, a false prophet, and a false gospel. And all these three things are warned about in the very Bible that we have, and the ones that the Mormons claim, the scriptures that the Mormons claim to be following, debunk and falsify their entire religion. What are some of the passages that we looked at, Sam, in Galatians and Corinthians that kind of refer us to the idea of a false angel, a false prophet, and a false gospel?
Paul, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, said, "If we or an angel from heaven should bring to you a gospel that is contrary to one that you received, let him be accursed." And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. One of the things that's true about the New Testament, and I like to say this a lot, there's nothing new in the New Testament. Everything that's in the New Testament has its origin in the Old Testament. The New Testament is in the Old concealed, and the Old Testament is in the New revealed. Our Bible is not two separate parts. It's one document that all works together. And so we're going to look at a story in the Old Testament today, in 1 Kings chapter 13, one that most people have probably not heard. This is not one of the typical stories like David and Goliath or Daniel in the lion's den that most people have heard about. This is a story that most people have not heard about.
And here's what we're going to kind of do today, which is going to be a little bit different. If you were to go on the Google machine, or you were to go into the YouTubes, or you were to go into some place on the internet to search the myths and the falsehoods of the Mormon church, you'll find a litany of arguments against them. It is rife and riddled with error and inaccuracies and many falsehoods. So what we'd kind of like to do is to tilt the table a little bit than focusing directly on all the complete errors of this religion. And instead, we know that the scripture has given us a warning of what's to come, what's going to happen. And the way by which these warnings have come through scripture are sometimes direct. They tell us immediately there will be false prophets that show up in my name. And then there is another way that the Bible warns us of truth, and that's through parables and stories. And a parable or a story from the Bible is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we're going to look at one of those stories today. And I want to give you a little bit of a quote from an ancient philosopher that kind of gives us a little insight to this, and I think is very appropriate when discussing Mormonism, where this old philosopher said that in the beginning, God created man in his own image, and man has been trying to repay the favor ever since. I'm going to say that one more time so you can really get the gist of this. In the beginning, God created man in his own image, and man has been trying to repay the favor ever since. These false religions seek to lower the Most High God to their level, and they seek to raise their own level to the height of the Most High God. And men's hearts continually do this by making themselves wiser, stronger, smarter, and more righteous than they actually are, instead of falling at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ in humble faith and asking to be saved. They state you can make it on your own. So the way that we're going to debunk, if you will, the false religion of Mormonism is we're going to teach you a story from 1 Kings chapter number 13, a parable, if you will, that will reveal the truth that's in your heart. The Bible promises us that the word of God will not return void, so I urge you to pay attention to this teaching today. Sam, let's go to 1 Kings 13 and let's kick it off a little bit.
Okay, so in 1 Kings 13, and I want to mention here, this is not just a story, and this is true of the entire Old Testament. These are not just stories. These things actually happen. These are historical documents. These are actual scenarios that actually happened. And yet, the God who created the world in which these stories happened also set things up in such a way that these actual occurrences would be told and would serve as a parable, would serve as a warning, would serve as an explanation of spiritual truth that we could understand later.
So what's the setting here in 1 Kings 13? Before we dig into the verses, give us a little of the setting and then we'll get right into what happens in the story.
So there's a young prophet, and King Jeroboam has split off from the tribe of Judah. There's been a civil war, if you will, in Israel. There's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. This young prophet goes to the king of the northern kingdom who has split off, and he issues him a warning. This northern kingdom has gone apostate. They've created their own religion. They've set up their own truth. They've set up their own priesthood, not according to what God gave through Moses. And so this prophet is declaring that this is false and that this kingdom is going to be brought down. He speaks against the altar that they were worshiping on and said that the altar was going to be knocked over and that the ashes were going to be spilled out. And as he's saying this, it happens. And he gives a definitive prophecy. King Jeroboam says, hey, seize this man. And as soon as he stretches out his hand to point toward the man, his hand becomes leprous. It shrivels up. And then the king begs the prophet to restore his hand. The prophet does pray to God and his hand is restored. So this was a true prophet of God,
right,
who makes some very amazing predictions that are going to happen hundreds of years later that do wind up happening. However, this young prophet was given instructions by God when he went to issue his prophecy. The instruction that he was given was that when he comes home, he was to go by a different way, and he was not to stop and eat with anyone. In fact, the king of Israel, who's been now healed of his shriveled hand, invites this young prophet over for dinner to eat with him, and the young prophet rightly refuses and says, God has told me I'm not to eat with anyone in this place and I'm to go back by a different way. And so he's on his way, he's sitting under a tree. All of a sudden, another old prophet from Bethel comes along and sees this young prophet and says, hey, why don't you come to my house for dinner? And the young prophet says, no, I can't. God has told me I'm not to stop and eat with anyone. I'm to go home by a different way. And the old prophet lies to him and says, oh, no. An angel appeared to me, and I'm also a prophet, and an angel appeared to me and told me that you should come to my house for dinner. The young prophet, instead of going by what God himself had specifically told him, he is deceived by this lie from the old prophet. He goes back to eat dinner with him, and at the end of the dinner, the old prophet stands up and says, thus says the Lord, because you listened to my lie, a lion is going to meet you on your way home and kill you. And this is exactly what happened. The young prophet is destroyed by this lion, and the old prophet winds up burying him and ultimately getting buried along beside him. And this shows you the outcome when you go against God, is you and everyone around you that's been deceived by that lie is going to be buried together.
So how we see this very interesting story, which we want you to go and study this out and read this on your own. 1 Kings 13 is a wonderful passage. How we see this parable kind of reflecting in these false religions is that there are people that are masquerading as true prophets. There are people that are saying that they're of God and they're not telling the truth. And this is kind of the history and story of this false religion of the Church of Jesus Christ and the Latter-day Saints, that a man receives a message from an angel, then writes it onto some tablets, and then goes and convinces his friends and family that he's been visited by this angel and that he now has another testament of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of problems with this idea that the story in 1 Kings 13 warns us about. Number one, we see as a major problem is that the story of the Bible and the overall revealed scripture from God is complete. This first and second covenant, this Old Testament, New Testament, is the end of God revealing new scriptures. And he gives that in our Bible, that anyone who goes and reads the Bible will find out that when Revelation shows up, the book of Revelation, there's no more new revelation of scripture to come. And we see this in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1, verse number 1. Where the Bible tells us that in the old times he spoke through the fathers and the prophets, but now he is speaking through Jesus Christ, the testator of the New Testament. And so if someone shows up, namely this guy Joseph Smith, and says, oh, but I am a prophet and I have another testament, we could easily just look at the Word of God, be secure in the truth that the Word of God teaches, and reject these things. Now, there's a lot of other things inside of Mormonism that are easily rejectable, but just on its face, a man hearing from an angel and receiving some New Testament of Jesus Christ is easily rejectable from just reading God's Word. And there's many other things that are easily to reject inside of Mormonism. They mistake the deity of Jesus Christ. They believe that we are all spiritual brothers and sisters before of all time, and eventually, if we do all the things that we're supposed to do from our spirit brother Jesus and our other spirit brother Satan, then eventually we'll receive our own world and we'll be our own God over that world somewhere in the future, which you should know is found nowhere in the Bible. We don't even have to go into these small pieces and the false branches of the Church of Mormonism. We could just lay the axe to the root of the tree of 1 Kings 13 warning us about this false prophet. What we've seen here in regards to the truth that's revealed in the Word of God is a far greater tool against false religions is to know what the truth is.
That's absolutely right. And one thing we have to understand in what the Bible teaches, which again, all of these false religions, whether it's Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, they get wrong who is Jesus. And what the Bible clearly teaches is that Jesus is the uncreated, everlasting Son of God. and that he is separate from this creation, and he is before this creation. Mormons teach that Jesus is part of this creation. He's something created by God the Father, just like God the Father created Satan. They teach that Jesus Christ is a created being, and the Jehovah's Witness teach that Jesus Christ is an angel. Islam teaches that Jesus Christ is just a regular prophet. The Bible teaches Jesus Christ is the uncreated Son of God. His goings forth are from everlasting. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are the names that the Bible gives for the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ.
And you might be easily caught up in wanting to argue or debate all the different lies and deceptions that come out of the Mormon Church. And there might be even some value in doing that. But what we believe and we think might be the best tool is that we understand truth. You know, Jesus in John chapter 14 tells us that he is the truth. Furthermore, in the book of John, we also see that the truth and the truth alone shall set you free. And what we actually see in these religions that are false and that seek to deceive and be deceptive towards men is that they are capturing men's minds and hearts, lives and wills, and they're now a slave to this new falsehood rather than the Jesus who sets men free. So what happens inside the scripture before we get to the whole end of what the Bible teaches us is that Jesus gives this new gospel, this now you can be saved by grace through faith to all who believe across the entire world. We see this man, Apostle Paul, he gets this revelation of the truth from Jesus Christ, and now he wants to go about preaching the gospel, and he goes from city to city writing holy, inspired messages, the book of Colossians, the book of Romans, the book of Philippians, but there's this book, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, where he's writing this truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the church at a town called Thessalonica. And in the middle of his message that he is writing to them, not only is he affirming the truth and deity of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, but then he does this mic drop passage about truth. And I think, Sam, we have it here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, in verse number 12, and you know what you should do? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to read verse 4, and I want you to read verse 12 from 2 Thessalonians, and let's just display some really powerful truth about the message of Jesus.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "Let no one deceive you in any way." And then it says down in verse 4, it's talking about someone who's going to come, this man of lawlessness, this man of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God.
So what we see here is an example of a future antichrist that's to come, and these smaller antichrists and anti-truths show up, leading us into this ultimate antichrist. So then Paul then uses, at the end of this chapter, in verse number 12, to kind of exclaim and proclaim the biggest truth of them all. And let's go ahead and read verse number 12.
I'll start in verse 11. It says, "Therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness."
What we find here is that ultimately, people who do not believe the truth are damned. And what Jesus finds the most pleasure in, what God finds the most pleasure in, is people who find the truth, seek the truth, and allow the truth to set them free. Throughout Scripture, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, we find God wooing and calling people to find and seek out the truth. We know that God is not willing that any should perish. He gives us a gospel of peace, gospel of righteousness by faith, that we might know God and be known by God. But what happens is men, and Satan in particular, will seek to give us lies, deceits, and deceptions to pull men away from God into worshiping him. And one of the ways he does this is Mormonism. It's a tool of Satan that has a false angel, a false prophet, and a false gospel. And we want you to beware about this false religion that's out there.
We see from this story from 1 Kings chapter 13 about this prophet who was a good guy. He did some good things, but he winds up being destroyed by a lion. And it highlights that God is not playing around with the truth, and that truth matters. We might think, it's okay if I believe this, believe that, or all roads lead to God, and there's many paths to God, there's many religions, and they all offer the truth. We have to understand that there is one truth. Jesus Christ said this, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And even has been said recently, it was recently in the news, that a certain religious leader in the world said that all religions provide truth and all religions offer a path to God. And this is not the testimony of the Scripture. The Scripture says that there is one truth, Jesus Christ, and He is the only way to the Father. Any other way is a path of deception. It's a path of falsehood, and you will not arrive at your destination. You will probably be destroyed by a lion.
And truth matters. And I think that false teachers, false prophets, and false religions, they take advantage of the modern ideology that there is no ultimate truth. And we want to put you in a position where you can have the truth, know the truth, and be able to identify what things are wrong and what things are right. And the way by doing that is to know what's in the Word of God. Some of you might not even, may have never heard the story from 1 Kings 13. You may have never read 1 or 2 Thessalonians. I would urge you to go deep into the Word of God and allow Him to reveal Himself truthfully to you, so you'll be able to spy out the ones that are evil, deceitful, and wrong.
Yes, and I want to encourage you as well. Everything that's in your Bible, everything that you're seeing out happening in the world today, whether it's Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, whatever you're seeing in the news, whatever's happening geopolitically around the world, everything, we were warned in the Bible about what's going on right now. I want you to know that there is a way for you to receive tomorrow's headlines today. You can go to your Bible and read, and you will know when the things happen in tomorrow's paper and tomorrow's news. You're going to know in advance, and you're not going to be surprised by it because you were warned. And these scriptures are given to us. All scripture, the Bible says, is profitable. Everything was given to us for our instruction, for our correction, for our rebuke, for our training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, complete, and prepared for every good work.
Here at Old Lion, Young Lion, we're not a show that's going to commentate on sports or fashion or politics, though we might mention them throughout our show because the Bible speaks on it. We're a show that discovers truth and preaches it boldly, and we stand up against all false religions and false prophets. If you ever have any questions or thoughts that you want to get on the show, we encourage you to shoot us an email at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. And we thank you for those that have emailed already in the past. And we're going to continue on this series of Buyer Beware, Pretenders to the Throne of Truth. And we want you to tune in next week as we deal also with the false religion of Jehovah's Witness. But we hope that God blesses you, and we know that you're on the right journey. Stick with us, and as we continue to proclaim the truth.
And we'll see you at church.